We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
What do you think Tom's legacy would be?
Definitely the greatest player of all time, not just quarterback.
Roger that.
Nobody's ever won more Super Bowls. Nobody's ever been better.
The proof, what you see on the field.
Dale Arnold.
Hitler, not a bad guy.
What now?
Armageddon is about to happen.
Rich Keefe.
I call LeBron because he taught me how to be a leader. Well, then be a leader. You don't have to tell us you're a leader. And I didn't like it at all.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
It's like the geezers at Caesars.
It
right?
is. On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Kind of amusing sometimes just watching the psychology of this place. So Rich Keefe, you know, recently signed a new deal here, and in celebration, he bought coffee for everybody today.
How about that? Pretty good.
It was obviously really good.
Huge raise. So I was able to pick up coffee
pick
for everybody.
Up the tab on coffee.
Yep.
So I stopped and brought muffins for everybody.
Love that.
The Muffin House, in Millis. Muffin
yes.
House.
Delicious.
And everybody's ignored all of that because over on the side of the desk here
what?
Are four crisp $20 bills.
Rolling in it. We are rolling in it. We, of course, hit on our bet last week. We had a show bet. Steve went down to Twin River and put in the under on the Colts-Chiefs game. A lot of people said we were crazy, but our guy Shime Time over here, Moneybag Shime, he's picking winners left and right. He said, guys, I think I like the under there. We agreed, and it hit, and it really wasn't even that close. We nailed it. I think the over-under was 57. What did they score in the game, like 41? A scoreless third quarter? I mean, we were cashing checks in the third quarter.
Money for nothing.
That's right.
And checks for free. Just in case you're keeping score.
Oh, that's
at
the
home.
Show motto here.
Although, I mean, I'm good with the whole lock thing that he's got going.
Yeah, you like that?
You know, last week wasn't as stellar as the week before, from what I noticed.
He did not do as well.
I bailed myself out with a teaser,
but
you know what?
He bailed
all
me.
In all,
he
one and three.
He claims
he was
about
even. But the lock was there.
That's all you need.
The lock.
Our money went through. That was
all that matters is we won money.
Right. We won money, and now the question is...
You can go one for 50.
Yep. Some want to do a pizza party.
What?
Me. Others want to roll
others
it
Others want to take their money
yes.
and go home.
And me. Dale. And then others, I think Shime, Rossi, and Steve want to keep playing the game.
Can't quit on a heater, Dale.
Steve, as I said the other day, this is how bad habits begin.
You
win your first bet, and all of a sudden you become Mike Mitnansky.
Right.
Betting on everything that moves.
But we're talking short money right now. So
when
we win this week and then roll it over on the Super Bowl, now we're talking about a little cabbage.
I think
cabbage, so. Right? A little something.
Yeah, I agree. So by the end of the show today, we will have another lock, and we'll be right back in there. I think that's what we do. The majority of people want to keep playing.
What?
Right?
What?
No, I'm saying we keep playing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah. No, Steve, you'll get your fix.
Right.
Don't you worry. And then he gets his percentage, too.
Listen,
don't think I didn't notice. You got a little percentage there. I know what's going on.
No, there's no percentage. I didn't charge you any VIG whatsoever. Not a hit.
Wow.
He's telling me on Twitter
you
he wants to wet.
And you give. You never ask anything in return.
He's trying to wet his beak a little bit, by the way.
That was the phrase. How do I wet my beak?
That's what he said.
I'm not a pig.
But,
you know, hogs get slaughtered, pigs get fed. All right?
I'm not
a hog here.
I know. Speaking of getting fed, did you notice how Steve ate his muffin? Rips the top right off, puts it off to the side, shoves the bottom down his mouth, and then he enjoys the top.
Right.
After.
See, now that I actually respect that.
Do you?
What was more mind-boggling to me was how fast he drank that extra large tub of coffee that you brought.
Yeah, that went down real quick. That went down real quick.
That didn't have a turbo in it, did it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
But that was good. That was a good start. It's a false count anywhere. I think it's also a feels good Friday. I think we might have to change it a little bit. Ross, you like that? Is blowing hair
today?
Feels good Friday. Feels good Friday. AFC Championship game on Sunday. Lot to discuss.
We actually won't get to say a whole lot today, which is probably good news for the folks driving around Boston listening.
They enjoy that jam-packed show.
So Bill Belichick, we'll go live to Gillette at 10:45. I think we'll probably be done with that at about 10:47.
Yeah, probably.
We'll see.
Probably.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
10:45, we'll go to Gillette. Daron Harmon will join us at 11. We've got Michael Irvin at 1:10.
Okay.
We've got Tom Brady live at 1:30.
We're pretty much done. We should probably pick the game now. That's pretty good.
Let's figure
it
out.
We can review, Dale, 12:30.
We can review for Kiefer Madness.
It's all laid out there for us.
It's a little busy today.
Hook me up.
And we got to make a pick.
No. Even more important.
What's that? What's the problem?
What?
Oh,
come on.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. Huh?
You're not,
I got him.
You hosed me a few times.
I got him. We'll get to that
Both
as well.
Both these dopes rattling their keys.
We'll get to Keith's keys.
I'm like a janitor. I got 58 keys on this damn chain. I know 57 of them are for your restaurant. I know. Ridiculous.
That's all it is.
So we'll get there.
So as the week goes on, Steve and I were talking about this earlier in the office. When you start the week, you start listening to all the naysayers out there. This has happened last week, where you start saying, oh, God, I don't know. Two weeks of it last week. I don't know. Yeah. You know, and by the time you get to the end of the week, you're thinking, they're going to lose this damn thing. And then you came to your senses, and you said, screw those people. Yes. Pats are going to win big.
Right.
Which is what I did on Twitter. I said, they're going to win by 2 touchdowns, 14 points.
The problem you have, though, is that you're sitting here and – you do hear some good points in the criticism of the Patriots or the praise of the Chargers, or in this case, the Chiefs. You hear some things, and there's some truth to what they're saying. In this case, there's more truth than what they were saying about the Chargers. And you say, well, okay, yeah, they're right about that. Well, maybe they're right about this and that. And the next thing you know, you're saying, well, I don't know how the Patriots can win this one. And I've fallen for it before. I've fallen for it where I've overanalyzed things and looked at the situation and said, yeah, this is too tough. Even Brady and Belichick can't overcome this. And I was wrong so many times. That was more the impetus for picking them big last week, was that I've been wrong so many times in these situations.
You were betting against the heater.
Right.
But exactly. Also, as Shime would say.
But don't you think for this specific team, the 2018 Patriots, that betting against them at home is dumb? They win every single time they're at home, and they usually win pretty convincingly at home. The road's been a different story.
Should I give you my Shime stat for the day?
Oh, I'd love a Shime stat.
A Shime stat for the day.
Oh, great.
Over the last five seasons, the Patriots have been underdogs 6 times.
That even seems high to be
honest. I know, but for 5 seasons, they've been underdogs 6 times. They've gone 5-1 against the spread and won all 5 outright.
That sounds like a Patriots money line bet if I've ever heard of it.
I would imagine that
hold on a second.
Would more of those 6 times?
Six times over the last 5 years.
So they were 5-1 and
they've been underdogs. They've been 5-1.
Okay.
And they won all 5 games outright.
But hold on. You said they were underdogs 6 times and they won 5.
Against the spread.
Right, and lost 1.
So they
5-1.
I think that might have been the Packers game.
Okay, but wait a minute. Did they lose against the spread, or did they win?
No, he said they won both. Obviously, if you're the underdog and you win.
You're right. Yeah. But wait a minute. Were they away games?
I don't know the answer to that.
Probably, because one of them.
When was the last time where they were not favored at home?
Have they ever been a home dog in the last 5 years?
Right.
Were they... I mean, I don't know. I don't know why I'm saying this now. But were they underdogs? Remember Garoppolo's first start? Wasn't it at Arizona? Were they an underdog in that game? They must have
probably.
I thought they were favored by 2.5 in that game.
Maybe they were. Now, when they went to Green Bay and they ended up losing, that was also in 2014, I believe. I think they were underdogs there against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
5-point spread on that game.
They were 5-point underdogs. Holy smokes. So, yeah, so that was another one. But it is very rare.
They're not dogs in the Brady era.
And that's
they're
why
almost never underdogs.
That's why the Edelman bet against us stuff is hilarious, because you guys are favored all the time. Doesn't matter where the game is played, you're always favored.
You know, it is fun in the locker room, though, for older guys to see if you can actually get some of these younger guys to believe it. They're probably buying in.
You're not selling it.
Brady's not buying. I don't care what he said about we suck and nobody thinks we can win. He's not buying into that. He's been around way too long to buy into that. But this might be something that the vet's doing, you know, Edelman and Brady and whomever, sitting there selling it to some of these young guys, saying, you know, put that chip on the show. Because these guys did it. They've done it before. They did it, you know, at least Brady did.
They've made up stuff in the past.
They've made up stuff.
But it's worked.
So keep doing it. That's got to be directed at the younger guys and not so much at Brady and Edelman. They know what they're capable of doing.
In fact, there are those who think that the whole Brady, you know, everybody says we suck and we can't win any games, it's just crap. That he knows it's not true. You know, he's just crying, poor woe is me. He's getting a lot of criticism for that whole, oh, come on, stop that.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, when they lost, I think it was also 2014. Wasn't that when Trent Dilfer said they're not good anymore? Wasn't it all the way back there?
Yeah.
So that was something that you really have. But nobody's saying that anymore. People are just hoping that they're done. It's wishful thinking because they want to see somebody else play. They don't really look at it and say, this team's bad.
It's not as easy as it used to be, but it used to be a situation where, you were basically in a capsule in that locker room. You could try to convince guys of almost anything in there. Nowadays, it's a lot harder. Guys are way more in contact with social media and everything and paying attention to what's going on out there. But I wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Brady and even Edelman said, hey, let's play the chip on the shoulder card.
Why not?
See if these young guys.
And this week at least makes more sense because they actually are underdogs, so they can use that. And depending on where you're betting, they have the worst chances of winning the Super Bowl. Them and the Rams, depending on where you go, kind of go back and forth. But like last week, it was kind of funny to use that and to prop that up when they were Vegas favorites, and by four and a half, like all week long, they were favorites. And doesn't mean that it was unanimous that every single person in the world picked them to win. But it was kind of funny last week to use it. This week makes a little bit more sense. The Chiefs are the top seed. Chiefs had the better record, obviously. They're at home. All these things are in favor of the Chiefs. So if the Patriots want to say people are picking against them this week, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. They're actually for a change.
Yeah.
Like we said, they're not underdogs often.
No, not at all.
I mean, 6 times in the last 5 years total. And I bet a couple of those might have been when Brady was out.
Yeah, so Scheimler and Rossi looked it up. So they were for sure underdogs. Garoppolo starting against Arizona. They were big underdogs there.
Doesn't count.
And maybe even with Brissett, they might have been like, those don't count. Right. So throw those out. With Tom Brady, you could probably less than on one hand, you could count how many times they were underdogs.
Brissett was a home game, though, too.
Brissett had, he had 2 starts. Were they both at home?
Yeah.
Because he started against Houston and they won, and then Buffalo and they lost.
Okay.
Those were his 2 games. But still, I mean, it's a rare thing for them to be. And we're saying if they make it to the Super Bowl, they'll probably be underdogs.
They will be.
If they play the Saints, they'll be underdogs. If they play the Rams, you might actually see a pick 'em. I wouldn't be surprised.
My guess is they'll be slight underdogs.
Slight dogs,
again.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Right.
Shimes our hookup on this stuff.
He's our guy.
So I would love to know how many times in Tom Brady's career he's been an underdog.
Yeah, we'll get,
I don't know if we can find that, but I'd be fascinated to see
somebody has
and I bet if it's 10, I bet 7 of them were his rookie year.
Oh yeah, because I remember the last couple of years when we were going through the year and we were saying picking out what games are going to be difficult, and the whole time you're looking at it, you said, well, even if at Pittsburgh might be tough or whatever these games are, like they're going to be favored in all of them. Like they just are, and so that's why this is a little bit different, and it has to be the home road splits because. Offensively, you have the best offense in the league in the Chiefs, but then the Patriots are 4th best. Defensively, the Patriots are in the top 10.
Yep.
The Chiefs are in the bottom 10. It's completely different. The head coach advantage is clearly to the Patriots. There are some advantages to the Patriots, so it's got to be as simple as home field.
Really? I was watching a show where the coaching was the coaching check was
James Jones said that.
Why aren't you working for the
face,
NFL Network, for God's sakes? If James Jones can do that.
Because I'm not willing to say stupid things. Well, I'm
well,
not that
are,
I'm not,
but
not that I'm not willing. I just I do it, but not on purpose.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I'm not willing to say stupid things on purpose.
What was more stupid?
Coach. Everybody probably thinks they know where I'm going, and they're right. I'm going Andy Reid at home. In the playoffs, the AFC Championship game, I'm taking Andy Reid. Bill Belichick's not great on the road.
No. Stop it. Stop it.
So what is more laughable, that James Jones gave the Patriots, or I'm sorry, the Chiefs, the coaching advantage or the defense advantage? Which one is more ridiculous?
Coaching is more absurd. You've got the.
I don't know. I think Andy Reid might be a better coach than the defense is a defense.
Yeah, but when you talk about the greatest of all time,
no, I understand.
Bill Belichick, the greatest of all time.
I'm taking Andy Reid in this.
You know,
yeah.
I'm taking.
You can have him.
I mean,
you can have him.
I mean, is there much of a dispute about Bill Belichick being the best of all time?
No.
I mean, I'm not just talking. I mean,
here anyway. I mean, maybe.
I mean, I honestly don't even hear much of an argument anymore.
Right. Exactly.
It's almost like the Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
There's not a lot of argument.
But then what they do too is, for people who really have pushback on it, they go
when he's not cheating,
back.
How good is he?
Well, no, but they go so far back that it's really hard to compare.
Yeah, George Halas was a better
coach. They're like, well, look at some of these guys. You're forgetting about Lombardi. Like, we're not forgetting about Lombardi.
No, not at all.
Like, we're not forgetting about Lombardi. But just what Belichick has done with some of the, and also the way the game is and the way the roster turnover and everything else.
Right. Free agency, salary cap.
People will
things.
Fight the Brady best quarterback thing much more than they'll fight Belichick best coach.
Right.
Belichick best coach, like, yeah, fine.
Meanwhile, a big part of Belichick's credentials for being the greatest coach ever are hand in hand with what Brady's done.
Of course.
So how do you
not? They are intertwined.
Well, yeah.
I mean, his time in Cleveland has been rewritten historically a little bit. He had that franchise going in the right direction, but when they moved to announced a move to Baltimore, that changed things drastically. But you can't sit there and say, okay, given his time in New England, he's been the greatest coach in the history of the NFL. You've also had a quarterback who's been right at the forefront all of that, all of it.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, some when they try to pick one, if like Max Kellerman, for example, who doesn't like Brady, he's going to prop up Belichick. And then you'll have others that are vice versa, where some might not like Belichick and they say that Brady carries them. And so that's where that argument stems from. But, I mean, the reality is I think everybody around here says it's the combination which has led to so much success. I think both would have won individually with another coach or another quarterback, but not to this level, not even close.
It's silly to think that they're not intertwined, that they haven't benefited each other. Tom Brady's is a guy that Bill Belichick values. What he valued was that not his arm strength coming out of college, certainly not his speed, but the fact that he would work and work and work and study and do everything and 100% more to get better. That's what he understood. And Belichick, he said that 1,000 times. I want players to whom football is important, because then they're coachable, then they want to get better, then they want to win, and we can work from there.
Here's you heard a portion of it in the open. But Mike Reese, ESPN Boston, talking to Robert Kraft about Tom Brady and where he is in the pantheon.
What do you think Tom's legacy will be?
Definitely the greatest player of all time, not just quarterback, in my opinion, because he's such a leader in the locker room. And for someone double the age of some of the players, to be able to lead like that and connect like that and have the work ethic that he has, and at the same time, so pleasant to be around. It's, you know, I'm really the luckiest guy in the world.
Now, even given that he's got kind of a biased opinion here,
I had a feeling what his answer would
Tom
be.
Tom Brady's
there,
put a few $1 billion in the family's pocket.
Helps.
But it's a legitimate argument. I mean,
you
could actually take the argument from the best quarterback ever to the best player ever.
I think
that's where it gets hard. You know, Lawrence Taylor and
difficult.
James Brown and
Jerry Rice.
Yeah,
it's really difficult.
Right.
But I think when you look at just the importance of the position, it kind of breaks any tie. So you can take the best linebacker, you can take the best running back or receiver, and if you also have the best quarterback, I think if you had to pick one, I think ultimately you would go there. You'd say, all right, fine, he's the best player ever.
Here's the issue with best player ever. When you look at Jerry Rice's stats compared to the next closest receiver.
True.
It's amazing.
It's like Gretzky against everybody else
it's
in
like,
the
right,
NHL.
Right.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, right there. And he's got championships to back it up.
He does.
So you could make a very strong case for Jerry Rice, but you're right. I think the importance of the quarterback position might sway the opinion towards Brady.
I mean, trust me, I love wide receivers, and I'm not saying they are like an offensive lineman, but the idea of, like, if you're the best left guard in the world, the best left guard in history, that's important. You helped your team win.
Right.
But what the quarterback's doing is on another level.
Right.
You know, and so those guys I sort of put in a little bit of a different tier. You know, if you were, again, like if you were doing an expansion draft and every single player in their prime was available, that's another way of kind of looking at it. Like,
yeah.
Would you take Tom Brady or Jerry Rice? Who would you take first? I think a lot of people would probably take Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You would hesitate.
Yeah. No, I mean,
who was the best player you were ever on the field with or
Lawrence
against?
Taylor.
Yeah, for sure.
And not even a question.
Yeah.
And he
and
changed.
Just imagine if he'd been clean and
you know what though?
Who knows?
He was one of those guys that that lived hard, played hard, and did. He was a great teammate, but the reason I look at him is because not only did he change what that outside linebacker position was, he also changed the left tackle, because now all of a sudden they had left tackle used to be just another offensive lineman. Now they had to get tall guys, long arms, good feet, because those were the guys that had the most success against the LT type. So, you know, you can throw LT there. I would certainly put LT in the top 3 to 5 greatest players in the history of the NFL. But I think you're on the right track with Brady in terms of the importance of the position and what he's accomplished with it.
Like some of the stuff that when Kraft gets into, and he obviously has a personal relationship with him, but when he's talking about how he's a good guy in the locker room, for best player ever, I don't care about that. Like, I'm just looking at what they do on the field, so I don't care.
But it does make it easier.
It probably does help the winning, like when you're a good leader and all of that.
Yes.
But ultimately, like, was Deion Sanders a great leader? I don't know, but he was the greatest cornerback I've ever seen play.
Right, but quarterback,
that part you need it.
The leadership is part of it, and the idea that you can... believe me, after just 12 years in the league, it's hard to relate to the guys that are only in the league a year or two, let alone 18, 19 years in the league, being able to relate to these guys and be a leader. And, I mean, it helps that you're, you know, again, the greatest of all time.
Well, it's so impressive because a lot of the guys that are in the league, they obviously grew up watching Brady in the NFL. They didn't just grow up watching, like, oh, I saw him at Michigan. No, they probably didn't. They probably missed that. They watched him play in the NFL, and you see it year after year where the NFL Network has the players vote on a top 100, and Brady's been number one, I think, the last couple of years.
Yep.
He was on the Madden cover a couple of years ago. So to the guys in their early 20s, they really look up to Brady, and they respect the hell out of him.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll dive into the phone calls with you in just a couple of minutes. We'll go live to Gillette at 1045. Pick up a portion of Bill Belichick's final press conference for the week. He's all done talking to you guys after today. So we'll get into that a little bit. We got a lot of stuff going on. Michael Irvin will be with us today. We'll go live to Gillette at about 1:30 to hear from Tom Brady. We've got some numbers for you. You guys like numbers. We've got some numbers for you about the Patriots this year. To Steve's point about, you know, you get paralyzed by analysis, we may just close the debate for you about this weekend's game. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keith with Diassi Sports Radio, WEEI.
We return to a Falls Count Anywhere Friday with Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
I will say this. Nobody uses more wrestling themes than Rossi, except maybe TD Garden for the Bruins games.
Oh, they do not
this
stop.
This is what they play at the start of every game.
Makes sense.
Just before the opening faceoff, they play this.
Pretty good.
Get you fired up.
It absolutely does.
Sure.
We've told you before about this Twitter site, Boston Sports Info, and they kind of do a statistical breakdown for all the local teams. So here's their tidbit from today. The New England Patriots have played playoff teams, regular season and postseason, 5 times this year. They're 5-0. They have been ahead or tied 280 minutes. They've trailed 20 minutes. They've averaged 37.4 points per game. As they point out, against the best playoff teams,
right,
the Patriots haven't just won, they've dominated. You've got Houston. They were ahead or tied all 60 minutes. You've got Indianapolis. They were ahead or tied all 60 minutes. Kansas City, the first meeting between these teams, they were ahead or tied 56 minutes and 13 seconds.
Mm.
The game in Chicago, they were ahead or tied 43 minutes and 43 seconds. And then the Chargers game last weekend, they were ahead or tied all 60 minutes. They haven't just beaten the playoff teams in this year's field. They've dominated them.
I would counter that with a lot of stuff.
First of all, four
of those games were at home.
Boom.
Houston was nowhere near as good as Houston was at the end of the year in week one. Deshaun Watson didn't look the same. Indianapolis, that was week 5. They didn't look nearly the same as they did at the end of the year. The Chiefs game ended up being super close. They got up to that big lead in the first half. Patrick Mahomes had a really bad first quarter, and yet they still scored 40 points against him. And oh, by the way, again, all these games, with the exception of Chicago, were at home. That's the biggest difference for me. They have not been a good home team. So,
I mean road team.
Or, I'm sorry, they've not been a good road team at all. They've been a great home team. And I don't know. So, I mean, that's good. Like, they have really quality wins. It's funny. They're the opposite of the Chiefs. The Chiefs have quality losses.
Right.
The Chiefs have only lost to really good teams. The Patriots have beaten really good teams and have lost to 5 teams that all missed the playoffs.
That's basically what, I mean, you can make stats dance
all you want. That's true.
And I get it. That's still a reasonable stat. I like it.
Sure.
It's good to know that they play well against the better teams. That's good to know. But again, for all those reasons that you talked about, you got to take at least some of that with a grain of salt.
They scored 27 against Houston, 38 against Indianapolis, 43 against Kansas City, 38 against Chicago, supposedly a great defensive team, and in Chicago.
Was Mac playing that game?
I think he was
in
hurt.
And out.
He did not play in that game.
He did not play in the game.
And then 41, obviously, last weekend against the Chargers.
Yeah, no Justin Houston against Kansas City, and no Khalil Mack against the Bears.
Right. And Mac's a huge difference.
Oh, he's awesome. Yep. And he's incredible. How much does the Week 6 game play into this one, do you think, Steve? Like, you played a team 3 months earlier, and I understand it's a different location, but how much do you take out of that game? Again, obviously, they won 43-40. They had a big lead at halftime. Ended up being
they
super
literally
close.
Trailed 3 minutes and 47 right. seconds right. In the game.
You take away, you take from there what they what the Patriots did, and I think the one of the best things they did was they had Hightower harassing Kelce off the line so many different times. If not him, it was Chung or somebody, but they weren't letting him get an easy release one way or the other. That was one of the things. That, and but again, you're not going to count on Bill Belichick doing the same things. So you look at it, and I would say simply because you've got a younger quarterback that you could count on Kansas City doing more of the same things that they did then, because they still scored 40 points.
They put up 40. They had a huge second half. They scored 40 points, and Mahomes looked comfortable after the first quarter.
Yeah,
well, and to further your point, because we said they only trailed against the Chiefs for 3 minutes and 47 seconds. This is a game of front runners. The Patriots,
both teams.
The Patriots are 11-1 when they score first. The Chiefs are 11-2. The Chiefs scored first in 13 of 17 games this year. They had a touchdown on their opening drive 10 times this year.
I was going to say, that's off the charts.
They scored points within the first two possessions in all 17 games they played this year. And they're plus 91 points in the first quarter. Best in the NFL.
Yeah, and there's some pretty convincing or some telling stats. Now, it didn't work necessarily in the Patriots game, but Patrick Mahomes in the first half has like next level stats. Second half, he's a little bit more mortal. And I don't know if that's teams are figuring him out. Or maybe part of it is they have a big lead and it's not, you know, they don't need him to score as
what
much.
You
like
saw,
that could be part
what
of
you
it.
Saw in the second half of the Colts Patriots game.
Or in the, well, right, no, the Patriots game, they week. Needed to score.
Past week. Kind right. of what you're
both
talking
teams,
about.
Both yeah. teams. Both the game was over in the divisional round for the Patriots and the Chiefs at
yes,
halftime.
Absolutely right.
Like you're just like, all right, you just need to, you know, run the clock and get this thing over with.
Yep.
All right, let's get to some calls. We'll hear from Bill Belichick in just a few minutes down at Gillette Stadium as well. George is in New Hampshire. Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, guys. Hey, I got a question maybe for Steve, and going to overanalyzing. Steve, who actually controlled the line of scrimmage in that first game? Could you tell from the Kansas City first game, the offense and defense?
But I think
the way I look at it is if you control the lines, you usually win the game.
Well, I think the Patriots' offensive line did a good job of keeping Brady clean. They didn't face a ton of pressure in that game. I think, but again, there wasn't. It wasn't. This was more of a skill position game. The way they were throwing the ball around. But if you want to just go trench work, sure. I think the Patriots' offensive line probably played a little bit better.
And if you look at the running game back in Week 6, the Patriots, because they had a lead, they got out to the early lead and they had it throughout the entire game, they ran the ball more than twice as much as Kansas City.
Yep.
So Kansas City only had 17 carries, but they ran it for 5.5 yards a clip. Patriots had 38 carries, 173 yards. Sony Michel went over 100 and had 2 touchdowns, which you assume if they can do that again, they're going to win.
Yep.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
My God, King. I think that's CM Punk's music.
He's back. No, he's not.
He's not.
No, he's not. He's
gone into the Federal Witness Protection Program.
He's a UFC fighter.
That's what I said.
About? Oh, well, come on.
You'd have to, like, win once in a while there to not be in the Federal Witness
I think he might be done with that. I think there's a chance.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Steve DiAssi's in the house with us on what will be a very busy day today with a lot of stuff. We'll go to Gillette Stadium in just a few minutes as soon as Bill Belichick steps to the podium. Sometimes you can get a sense from Bill if this is one of those hay is in the barn kind of press conferences. You know, if he's somewhat playful with the reporters at the beginning. Now he's much more likely to do that with the local guys. This is a national media thing. He's less likely to. Sometimes on Fridays you get the sense that he feels pretty good about things.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think it's going to be similar to what we heard him earlier in the week. Like, it's very easy to speak up the Kansas City Chiefs,
right.
Talk about how good the players are. He has a lot of respect for Andy Reid. You understand it. That's fine.
He does.
So I think it's just going to be more of that, just trying to get through. What is this going to take, 10 minutes? He just wants to get through this and get back to – this is the last thing he wants to be doing right now, and I think you're going to get that sense.
But you're right. When you every once in a while, and I think it's more during the regular season, but you've seen it a couple times in the playoffs where it's never a cockiness. It's never an overt confidence, but it's you can just see that he's sometimes a little more –
he feels good.
Yeah, a little more talkative maybe a little bit and, you know, less – less of this. And,
And just the super short answers, just very general. Yep. Like that. I think you're going to get that, though.
And part of that is sometimes predicated on, you know, the gotcha moments that some members of the media try to foist upon him. Usually, again, it's out-of-market guys or it's in-market guys but who are like news guys.
Yeah, right.
Who are down covering the sports, the sports story for the week.
Yeah,
you get a sense.
And it is oftentimes based on the questions because somebody might be going back to something that's not really relevant now, and he's just going to bat that down. Like, he's not here to mess around. Like, these better all be Chiefs-related questions, or he's not going to give it the time of day.
Yeah, he doesn't suffer fools gladly.
No.
Nope. No.
And just cuffs them around, bats them around.
Right.
And does the same thing as a coach, too. He's
correct.
He expects you to if you don't understand the material, he expects you to find someone who can explain it to you, a coach, assistant coach, a teammate, whatever. You know, he gives everybody the opportunity to learn things, but if you're not learning, you're not going to be around long.
In the coaching matchup, where would you put – obviously we have Belichick as the best. Where does Andy Reid rank for you within the current NFL? Like all the teams that are not just left, but just looking at the 32 head coaches that are in the league – ballpark, where do you put Andy Reid?
He's up there. He's, you know, in the
all
NFL.
All four of these coaches
right
would be in the top five for me.
I think they are. Yeah, they're all very good.
Agreed, except that you just don't have a body of work from McVay.
McVay's young.
Yeah,
you don't. But Peyton, you do. Andy Reid, you do.
Yeah.
The one thing I like about, and so obviously Sean Payton has the Super Bowl. Andy Reid does not. But Andy Reid gets to the playoffs all the time.
He does.
Sean Payton, I know he got suspended for a whole year, but he had a bunch of years with Drew Brees where he didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
So I'm not saying he's not a good coach. He is. And I think we're so used to watching the best coach that there are a lot of bad coaches in the NFL.
Agreed.
These guys are all good. Andy Reid, it's easy to make fun of the clock management and some of the stuff that the issues that he's had. But overall, like over the time that Belichick has been a head coach, like the last 20 years, Andy Reid is right up there. He really is.
Yeah, but if you look at it, I think it's some like, 38% of teams make the playoffs. So you put him in the top third, top 40%.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
just for making the playoffs. That's it's with the 12 teams in the playoffs now. It's a little different. But you still look at his what he did in Philly, what he's done there. I agree. You would put him in the upper echelon of coaches in the NFL right now.
He's coached 20 seasons, and his teams have only missed the playoffs six times. And that includes the first year he took over
the
99 Eagles. So you almost throw that one out. That's pretty impressive.
Well,
unless you're Mike McCarthy.
The stat this week that they also talked about was the fact that the game on Sunday will have the most coaching wins on the field at one time in NFL history.
Yep.
I think it's 456 coaching wins between these two guys.
Wow. Right.
It breaks by one the record that was, Don Shula and Marv
Levy.
Good.
Yep. So, you know, these guys are real good coaches.
Yeah.
Now, we think that Belichick is probably the best of all time. Some disagree, but...
And the reason why Andy Reid gets kind of knocked down a peg is... I don't know how you can feel that. If the game is really close at the end, it's just advantage Patriots. And part of that is the quarterback for sure, but it's also the head coach. And you just feel like whether it's timeout, using timeouts or not using timeouts, challenge or not challenge, like, or like certain things at the end of the game.
Or your quarterback throwing up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that didn't help Andy Reid, but Andy Reid wasn't really helping the situation there either.
True.
So, I mean, that's one where it's advantage. And until Reid is able to really break through there, he's still going to have that kind of attached to him.
I do have to say, because generally speaking, we give Ernie Adams all the credit for how good the Patriots are throwing their challenge flag. Ernie's had an off year, too.
They've missed
that
some.
One.
I mean,
last weekend was just absurd.
Yeah, that was weird.
The challenge.
Yeah, the one with the hand under the ball that looked the 40.
That was a weird one.
Yeah, that was weird. And, you know, that looked, especially when you see a challenge flag coming out when you've already seen two replays that confirm the call. I mean,
right.
You know, that's just odd.
I mean, sometimes you almost think Belichick doesn't even mind. It's like a timeout. But that was not the case in this one. They just flat out missed this one.
No, right, exactly.
And they don't miss a lot of them. Ernie's pretty good at that stuff.
How about the Steelers are trying to hire an Ernie Adams type?
Oh, let's go down to Gillette Stadium and Bill Belichick.
Here to go.
Their D Ford and Justin Houston, are they pretty much on the same side, or do they flip them around quite a bit?
Ford's usually on the right, Houston's on the left. Not 100% of the time, but that's usually the way it goes. When they get to third down, sometimes they get into an odd package. Could get them split, could get a little bit of San Diego program, like Ingram did. And, yeah, be inside or put them together or use them in coverage and so forth. So, but normally it's Ford on the right and Houston on the left is... If you said that's where they're going to be, that's most likely where you're going to find them.
Houston didn't play in the first time you guys met. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, good player. Does everything well. Strong against the run, can rush. Smart player. Instinctive. Just a good player. He's one of the best players.
Bill, their run defense statistically wasn't that good this year. Last week it was good against the Colts. What did you just see watching the film that maybe allowed their run defense to improve?
It's a sort of a... that game kind of had its... Like every game, it takes its own course. But I would just say in general, they have a lot of guys that are hard to block. So... if you don't get them blocked, you're not going to gain any yards. But Jones is hard to block. I mean, Houston's hard to block. They have a good front. Hitchens is a very instinctive linebacker. He's got a lot of experience. He makes quite a few plays. Sorensen's another pretty instinctive guy that's down in the box a lot because they play so much man coverage. He's down there around the tight end in a lot of their base coverages. And then when they go to dime, obviously he's down there too. So. And they mix up their fronts between their five-down front and their four-down front. So if you don't get it right, you got problems. And if you can't block one of those guys, you got problems. So, and if you can, like anybody else, then you got a chance. So that'll be the challenge for us.
So I wanted to ask about your training staff, your medical staff, not to get into specifics with health and injuries, but...
Oh, that's good, though. Tom, we're not going down that road.
They've obviously done a really good job of getting guys ready to play and available for you to play, which I imagine is, as you've said in the past, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is, can you illuminate me a little bit on how well they've done relative to other units or anything like that?
Generally. Yeah, I mean, they all work hard, yeah. Great.
Big advantage having everybody out there, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Being able to practice, being able to train, being able to string those days and weeks together. It's what you want.
I think there was a year where we talked at the end and you said this is something we scrutinize very hard in the offseason, what we're doing in terms of nutrition, rest, all those things. Do you think the health of this team right now might be at all relative to some of the things we've done in the past in terms of scrutinizing and trying to improve?
I would hope so. But I think in the end, it's a combination of a lot of things. Training's it's like anything. It helps to have a good plan. It helps to follow the plan. And the players have worked extremely hard. There's no pill we can take to get in condition or get stronger or get faster or anything. You've got to go out there and you got to work at it. And you do that day after day, week after week, month after month, in some cases year after year. And that's how you improve, just like anything else. So players have worked really hard as a total team with a lot of consistency. I think the work that, as you mentioned, the other people behind in those areas have done has been good. But it's a combination of a lot of people working together and doing a good job. But I think you can't take anything away from the players. I mean, in the end, players work to get in condition. Certainly they need a good plan, a good structure. I'm not saying that. But if they don't work hard at it, then you could have the best plan in the world and probably going to have great results.
The contrast in playing styles between the quarterback you faced last week and the quarterback that you'll face this week is pretty significant. How have your scout team quarterbacks done this week or all week, just in terms of preparing you for when the extreme is so different?
We spend time with all of our players every week trying to instruct them and coach them into how we want them to do whatever it is they're, whatever position they play is, whatever they're doing. And they do a great job of that. They do it the best they can, and if they don't do it right, then we correct them, and they do it the best they can and do it right. So they really try to, they know their job's important to help prepare their teammates. They take it very seriously, and they do a really an outstanding job. And so that's all you can ask. We try to put players in positions that are, we think, similar, at least physically, to the opponent. Or we try to approximate it the best we can. It's obviously not perfect. We do the best we can on that, and then those guys try to do the best they can to simulate those things. Some of it's scheme, some of it's individual technique.
Okay.
There it is.
It was not one of those, playful.
What do you think?
To be talked into saying something nice about the training and conditioning staff.
What do you think Kern was going for then? Less guys are doing TB12?
I don't think he was going there with it. I think he was actually trying to get Bill to compliment the training and conditioning staff on a great job, having these guys ready to go this week. But Bill,
I wonder what the numbers
are. I like the Keyspiracy.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve. Yeah, there's something there, right? Because last year, didn't we find out that it was close to half the team? It was some insane number that was visiting Guerrero. And a lot of the Guerrero guys were getting hurt. And so now maybe a more traditional training program.
You would think that in some back channel way that Bill Belichick would let that be known.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think?
Yes, I do.
I do too.
Yeah, there'd be something there.
I mean, not that he cares, not that a big picture he cares that much about it, but it's nothing wrong with taking a little victory lap.
I know. And it hasn't been a story at all this year.
No.
Guerrero's name, which for a while was very popular around here,
yes,
it's been all season long nothing.
Yeah.
There was a little bit at the beginning of the year where, he was allowed back on the plane or whatever it was.
Oh, he said he's in the facility now.
Yeah.
A lot of those Sunday morning videos when you see guys walking into the stadium, especially on road games,
yep,
where they're coming off the bus, you see Alex all the time.
Because by banning him last year, it became a bigger story.
Right.
And they probably thought, this is good. This is a shot in the arm for the real trainers. But by doing that, it became a bigger topic. Now it's like, all right, you can do whatever you want. Just make sure Brady's healthy.
But it also appeared, and this obviously to an untrained eye, it seemed like Guerrero didn't mind being filmed on that walk or taped on that walk into the stadium. There was a couple times where it seemed like, okay, this is your presence is gratuitous here. It's not really needed, but still there anyway, and I think that might have.
Tell you that for the quarterback,
yeah,
it is every bit as needed as it's ever been.
Right.
The relationship between Guerrero and Tom has not waned one bit. I can't comment on the rest of the team.
Yeah.
I don't know about Gronk or all the other players, but I can tell you Brady and Guerrero have been attached at the hip this whole season.
And I think it goes back to what a lot of people have been saying for a long time is, first of all, kind of whatever works for you, whatever gets you onto the field and whatever gets you healthy. But for somebody like Brady, it's just obvious. Quarterbacks are going to be different than linemen and linebackers and running back. Like, everybody has different things for their body to prepare for an NFL game.
And the smart ones train differently, too.
Yeah.
They don't lift and run the same way. They don't lift and practice the same as a receiver or a line, obviously an offensive lineman. But I wouldn't be surprised if the training techniques are different, too.
Yeah.
You saw them. I mean, offensive linemen, defensive linemen would get ready quicker somehow, and that's because that's what the trainers did.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to talk with New England Patriots safety Daron Harmon. Our conversation with Daron is brought to you by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Town Fair Tire. Daron joins us from Gillette. Hey, Daron, how are you?
Good, yourself, guys?
We're doing great, thank you. On the Friday before an AFC championship game, do you feel like the hay is in the barn at this point?
Still getting there. I mean, we still have to go practice today, continue to learn from the practice tomorrow, and continue leading up through through the game. Just keep preparing. I mean, this is going to be a tough game, a tough challenge, and the more you can prepare, the more that you can know this opponent in and out, the better you'll feel Sunday at 6:40.
How much does the Week 6 game help you just to know, you know, Tyreek Hill's speed and Patrick Mahomes' arm strength and just to be on the field for that? Is that an advantage?
Oh, for sure. Anytime you can have some type of familiarity with the team, kind of see how they want to attack you. I think the good thing, we played them a few times over the last years, and how they attacked us has been pretty consistent. So we got to learn from that. Try to make our weaknesses that were out there our strengths, and the things that we did well, continue to harp on those so that we can continue to have that as a strength for us.
Are they running the same same offense or same running plays without Kareem Hunt with Williams as they were with Hunt?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Damian Williams has shown he's more than a capable back. Obviously, Kareem Hunt is no longer there, but I mean, we've seen the last week versus the Colts, the way they were able to run the ball. I mean, the holes were big. He was running physical. So, I mean, they have more than a capable running back to carry the load for their running game for them.
We're talking to New England Patriots safety Daron Harmon. Do you have anybody who on scout team can give you at least an approximation of what Tyreek Hill brings?
I would say Tyreek Hill is the fastest man in the league. It's nobody that can run the way he is, explosive the way he is, and as quick as the way he is. We have a multitude of guys who are doing a good job for us, trying to give us the best look that they can. But we know what Tyreek Hill brings to the field is an exceptional rare ability that we've seen. And that we know we had to be ready to handle when it comes ready for Sunday.
Why do you think you guys struggled on the road this year? And then, you know, why do you think it could be different on Sunday?
I mean, I can't really say to why. We haven't been able to get the wins that we wanted to. I mean, we always work hard. We always practice. We always focus. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't gone our way this year. But I know we have a resilient group of guys who want to do everything they can to win this game on Sunday. So we're going to be prepared. We're going to play hard. We're going to play with good fundamentals, good techniques, and we're going to do everything in our power to make sure we leave Arrowhead with a win.
Is Mahomes one of the best scramblers that you've seen in the league? I mean, guys that scramble to throw the ball. Is he amongst the best in the league?
For sure. I would put him right up there with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Being able to not only scramble, but to keep the eyes downfield. And, you know, when you get guys who scramble to kind of throw the ball downfield, it kind of usually shows up with a lot more errant throws, but his throws are right on the money. He's throwing no-look passes, sidearm passes, 80-yard bombs. Like, it just shows the exceptional ability that he has and why he's a very special player.
Daron, we appreciate the time as always. Good luck on Sunday.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Take care. That is Daron Harmon, New England Patriot safety from Gillette Stadium. As you'd expect, extolling the virtues of Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
and
it's tough
Mahomes.
Matchups. I mean, that is just, and they saw it firsthand. I mean, there was
GTFB.
The game.
Heard that before.
Yep. When they played, he was back. Daron Harmon was back, and it looked like he had the right angle and everything, and Tyreek Hill still torched him.
Which you've seen about five times this year.
Oh, yeah, he's not alone by any means.
There's so many defensive, defensive backs that have misjudged his speed.
They really do have quite a compliment, like a kind of a unique group. Like, I don't think any team has that. Like, you'll see the Saints and you'll see the Rams on Sunday at 3:00 and who they throw to, like Kamara and Thomas. But the combination that they have with Tyreek Hill, who everybody admits is the fastest guy in the league, then Travis Kelce is one of the best pass catching tight ends. So he's kind of in the middle of the field doing what he does. And then Damian Williams really has just replaced Kareem Hunt. Like, he does a lot. Kareem Hunt's better.
Yeah, but agreed.
But Williams
you're right.
does a lot of the same
Not
stuff.
Not even a question. Yeah, you're absolutely
like,
right.
He rushed for over 120 yards against the Colts, but yep. they'll also throw to him like they did Hunt. And Hunt's been great against the Patriots. He had, in both games that he's played against them, he had some big touchdowns and some you know, great plays.
Well, to your point, Rich, Kareem Hunt had 14 touchdowns in 11 games this year. Tyreek Hill is really, really good, by the way.
Yeah.
He had 13 touchdowns in 16 games. Kareem Hunt was more of a scoring threat than Tyreek Hill is.
Yeah, Hunt was good, but but Williams has really not been that bad. And it's funny because Spencer Ware was supposed to be the backup, and then he got hurt, so they had to go to their third string guy, and he's been really good for him.
But Hill is a threat from anywhere on the field to score
at any time.
Hunt was, you know, he got his, you know, touchdowns and everything, but it doesn't matter what part of you could be on your own 10-yard line.
Oh yeah, touchback 25, like a 75-yard touchdown, like we saw against the Patriots. So yeah, he's something.
617-779-7937. We'll get back to the calls with you guys. Still to come, we'll talk to Michael Irvin just after 1 o'clock. We'll go back to Gillette Stadium at 1:30 for Tom Brady's press conference. We've got Kiefer Madness today, our week in review. We've got keys.
We gotta find our lock, too. We gotta find our go back to Twin River, make more money.
Crack staff, I am searching hard.
Shime, how you seeing the board today, Shime?
Is this a group effort, or we just hanging our hats on Shime?
No.
First of all, Shime is wrong. This is a show bet.
Hold on. Don't besmirch
Shime. I'm okay.
The guy's
got a good history of locks.
He does.
No, that wasn't his lock.
A great history of locks.
That wasn't his lock last week.
Yes, it was.
No, it was.
His lock was the Chargers.
I never in a million years would have said
his lock was the Chargers?
Yeah, that was his lock.
I cannot listen to you anymore. What's wrong with you?
Dale Keefe and I agreed yesterday even touch the Patriots Chief game. Really,
we're not doing it.
I get it.
I think we're really eyeballing that Rams Saints. We're looking at that and maybe some player props because that's where the sweet money is.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Diossi Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.